Jim Elliott and four other missionaries were seeking to reach out to a fierce Ecuadorian tribe known as the Alcas when those same Indians turned on them. The shocking news of the deadly attack spread around the world. But Jim's widow, Elizabeth, surprised many when she and her young daughter, Valerie, lived there with the same tribe for 2 years, helping them learn about the love and forgiveness found in Jesus Christ. On Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares with you the lessons learned through that and many other events in her remarkable journey. Thanks for joining us for Gateway to Joy. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you this time about a peaceful home. I've been so interested to see the mail that we have been getting, and it's amazing to me what a variety of kinds of people are listening. Since we've been discussing personal discipline, the discipline of the mind and the body and time and work and possessions, and that really tough one, the discipline of the emotions, we can go on now to discuss the discipline that is required in order to have a peaceful home. In other words, the discipline of children, the discipline of a family. Just this morning, I was listening to an old tape of a talk that I had given on the subject of motherhood. And when I spoke about teaching children to pray, I realized that there was one very serious omission in the three things that I suggested teaching young children to pray about. Teaching children to pray and say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for the morning light." I remember the little song we used to sing when I was in the first grade. "Father, we thank thee for the night and for the pleasant morning light, for rest and food and loving care, and all that makes the world so fair. Help us to do the things we should, to be to others kind and good, in all our work and all our play, to be more loving every day." There are so many things that a child can learn to thank the Lord for besides his meals. I certainly hope that all of you fathers and mothers teach your children to say thank you to God for each meal as he sits down to eat it. It should be a family activity together. But there are many other things that a child can learn to thank God for. So forgive me for that omission a few months ago. Now let's talk about a peaceful home. Do you know one? How would you describe the most peaceful home you know? Is it your own? Well, probably most of you are laughing and saying, "Are you kidding? Don't come into my house at 10 o'clock in the morning when all three of the preschoolers are under my feet. Or don't come into our house at 6 o'clock in the evening when supper's not yet on the table and Daddy has just gotten home and the dog is racing around and, well, you know what I'm talking about." But most of us do know at least one peaceful home. What would you say is the secret of that home? Do you long for that kind of a home yourself? I think Paul gives us a clue in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, the first and second verses. He says, "As God's prisoner then, I beg you to live lives worthy of your high calling." Then he goes on to explain what he means by living lives worthy of your high calling. Remember, mothers and fathers have a very high calling as mothers and fathers. Paul's practical suggestions as to what this means are these: accept life with humility and patience, making allowances for each other because you love each other. Make it your aim to be at one in the Spirit, and you will inevitably be at peace with one another. Those are powerful and difficult spiritual principles, aren't they? And yet, they come right down to where we live. Humility and patience. Can you teach your children to accept life with humility and patience? I may have told this story before, and you'll have to forgive me if I repeat myself, because you probably realize that I record these programs many months before they are actually broadcast, And sometimes I can't remember if I've told you the stories before. Furthermore, grandmothers can be excused for having lapses of memory and perhaps for telling grandchildren stories more than once. But I think it was Colleen, when she was 2 years old, she had cut her finger or hurt herself in some way, and she was feeling like fussing a little bit, but she was sitting in her high chair, and she turned to her mother and she said, "I'm trying to accept this patiently." Or I think she said, "I'm trying to bear this patiently." Well, I'm sure that those were the words that her mother had used in helping her not to fuss too much about a trifle. And yet, for you and me, it's not always easy to accept life with humility and patience, making allowances for each other. One of the hardest jobs for parents is to teach their children to make allowances for each other. Everyone is different. Everyone has a different set of faults. Everyone makes mistakes. Everybody spills milk, including the mother and the father sometimes. We make allowances for each other. Why? Paul says, because you love each other. Make it your aim to be at one in the Spirit, and you will inevitably be at peace with one another. A Christian home that is a peaceful home goes by the law of love. Love is the law of that house. It's not a political arena. It's not a place into which legal terminology is very often introduced. But the law is love. And that goes much further than any written law, doesn't it? Paul says to husbands, love your wives. That is the most specific primary command that the Scripture gives to husbands. Love your wives. And what is the primary command to wives? Submit to your husbands. Well, I'm not going to go on and talk about submission today. You've heard me talk on that subject before, and maybe some of you are up to here with that. It would be so much easier for us wives to submit if our husbands always loved us, wouldn't it? And it would be much easier for the husbands to love their wives if their wives were submissive in the scriptural sense. But it means letting go of self. In order for a husband to love his wife, he must let go of himself. And that's the way to finding the real person that God had in mind. Now, sometimes very small things may hinder the work of grace in us. The cross is learning to say no to ourselves. One day I had a disagreement with my husband about two things. One was the use of our house, and the other was a matter involving money. I saw both of them as forms of service that we could offer to somebody else. He didn't see them exactly the way I did. We talked about it. He lay awake that night thinking about it. I was disturbed the next morning in my prayers because we hadn't arrived at any resolution. And I felt that I must marshal some more reasons to persuade Lars to comply with my wishes. Surely it was what God wanted. Didn't I have to help God get it done? I'm supposed to be his help, meet for his needs. But then I remembered the word, wives, submit. Don't talk so much. I think it's a good rule for us women to remind ourselves not to feel that we have to talk about everything. Could I be sure that my way was better? Was it my will that I was most interested in, or God's? And as I prayed about it, the Lord said, "Trust me." And he showed me that I should say nothing more about it, keep my mouth shut, and wait on God. In other words, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Sit still, my daughter. That's a verse in the Old Testament. Sit still, my daughter, until thou see how the matter will fall, the words of Naomi to her daughter-in-law Ruth. And I realized that if God could make the sun come up every morning on time, he could accomplish his will in these matters. It was Sunday. The day was passing. Church went by. Our lunch went by. We took our usual walk. And then Lars volunteered the information that he had changed his mind. He had already arranged for the use of our house, just as I had hoped, and he had sent the money. And the Lord was reminding me, what's the rule that I told you years ago? Back off shut up, and pray. Settle yourself wholly in God, not on getting your own way, but on cooperating with His, no matter what that may be. If through prayer you get an answer different from what you wanted, isn't it better than through argument getting what you wanted? Which do you think is the true high road to peace? Which leads finally to discontent or to distance from your husband? Answer that question honestly now for yourself. In Isaiah 26, verses 7 and 8, we read, "You make the way of the righteous smooth. Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and renown are the desire of our hearts. Lord, you establish peace for us. The secret of a peaceful home. Walk in God's ways. Trust Him."
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.